Hello again and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTGcast Network. I am Chewy, and I was supposed to stream Overwatch tonight because nothing happened that warranted an entire show. And then today, things happened that warranted an entire show. So joining us this week, well, joining me this week, because I am a singular. I'm not the royal
we. Yes, you am.
Yes, I is. So joining me this week are everyone's favorite bow tie wearing science guy that isn't Bill Nye. Clues.
Hey.
I like him more than Bill Nye.
Like as a person?
Yeah, Bill Nye would never share the eclipse with me.
That is true.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
He probably would if he didn't then have to share it with everyone else at the same time.
Yeah, but I like the attention that I get from Clues.
It's true. Yeah.
He's a real me person.
This is true.
And also joining me this week is a real him person, Squee.
I am here as well, yeah.
And we are also joined by a level 3 judge, one of the hosts of JudgeCast, here speaking as a private citizen, fresh out of the joint, Brian Prilliman.
Oh, hello. Hold on. When you say fresh out of the joint, I've never been anywhere or been convicted of anything that'll ever show up on any sort of background check.
Ah, that sounds remarkably legally defensible.
Yeah, I am, you know, as the kids say these days.
Also, he seems to be having issues with that.
So dramatic pause forever. Yeah,
when he said, as the kids say these days, he definitely said something.
He's implying that the kids these days are mute.
Would you like to try that again, B-Pril?
I don't even really know what I was saying. It's already fair old enough. Age, forgot dementia, and all that.
It's a good thing you're out, because if this was your only phone call, you really need a better reception.
Oh.
luckily, he got that file we sent, so he could, you know, get out. So, right, this is episode 590 of Monday Night Magic. We've already been on this call for like an hour or more.
You can tell by the laughing how long we've been saying things that weren't in the episode.
So, we weren't going to record this week, as I said, because nothing really happened. There was a pre-release. I went to that. If you want to know more, listen to this week's upcoming episode of The Mana Pool, because Mike and I had the digital recorder and recorded everything that happened. Clues, you didn't go to a pre-release.
I'm afraid I did not, no.
And Bill was at a convention.
Yeah, it's actually the first time I've straight up missed a pre-release that I can remember. Usually I'll end up at a ridiculous midnight one, or I will, at minimum, track down the pre-release packs and, like, play it against a friend or something. Like, this time I completely missed it. I was just at a con. And it's actually harder to find pre-release packs now that they're not those big, dumb boxes anymore.
Yeah. And Prilliman, how about you?
No, my daughter had her junior theater festival up in Atlanta this past weekend, so drove up there, and then I hung out in the hotel bar drinking with all the theater dads.
Okay, well, one, you were in Atlanta, so that's really the only way to get through it. And two, awesome.
Was this at Peachtree?
It was at the Waverly.
Exactly sure where that is, but I'm willing to bet it's on or near a thing called Peachtree.
Yeah, it's going to be close to a Peachtree.
It's northern Atlanta, so.
Ah, yes, North Tree. Check. Gotcha.
Yes, North Peachtree. So, yeah, so lots of overpriced drinks this weekend.
It is their way.
Nice. So, the thing that happened that warranted an episode, and I said on stream, we're not going to, well, I was streaming, I think, yesterday. I was like, we're not going to record Monday Night Magic this week because only a couple things happened and none of them warrant an entire show. And someone in my chat said, well, the banned and restricted list update is tomorrow, right? I'm like, I'm not going to ban anything. So here we are recording Monday Night Magic.
I remember expressly agreeing with you and us having this discussion of like, well, We already know they're not going to ban Modern anything because they said they weren't going to do that till after the Pro Tour.
Legacy seems fine.
And Standard is beyond repair, so whatever.
Yeah, well, I think what I said was Standard sucks, but Standard doesn't suck in the everything is horribly broken. It sucks in the format as a whole is just kind of boned and stale and badly designed, so we're just going to deal with it until the next set. Nope. It turns out they decided they could do something about Standard sucking. And
they did it when the next set came out.
Oh, I meant the next, like, rotation.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I just find it so strange that it's like, hey, we got these new cards. They should change format, shake it up a little. No? Okay, well, fine. Just ban some stuff.
Yeah, a thing that I remember saying a lot during the Rivals of Ixalan preview shows on the Mana Pool was that these cards are sweet, but not necessarily tournament viable, because Rivals had a lot of really sick, really awesome cards, but not like Standard cards. These are like Commander badass cards.
Yeah.
So once again, for the first time this year, but this is the what?
This is one, two, three, four. This is the fourth Standard banning in the last year.
Wow, really?
Jesus. Yeah.
Okay, hang on. Let's go to the timeline.
I was just at the timeline.
17 had 1, 2, 3, and then 4, and then 5. So yeah, this is 6, 7, 8, 9. Cards banned in Standard in recent memory. And that's terrible, but hopefully that's what play design is for. The new team.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. So, the bannings for Standard are as follows. Attune with Aether and Rogue Refiner are banned to try to punch the energy decks in the teeth. Not knock them out, but hobble them a little bit. You know, they don't want to destroy the deck. They just want to bring it down some so it's not super powerful.
Yeah, for those that aren't familiar with the cards, one of them is essentially your fixing and land getting, and the other one is your get a card and have, you know, a 3/2. And they both add energy.
And they both give you 2 energy. Yeah.
Yeah, they both give you 2 energy. So, like, these are cards that do relevant, consistent, you know, play effects while giving you energy. These aren't like the big, crazy, fire-breathing dragon energy, you know, all-stars or anything. These are solid utility, you know, curve fillers.
Yeah. Attune with Aether, because it is 1 mana and fixing, it means, and gives you energy, it means that they can, because 2 energy at the very least is 2 activations of your, the land. Oh god, my brain. What's the land that uses an energy to give you mana of any color? Oh god, all our brains farted.
You mean Aether Hub?
Aether Hub, thank you, yes. So at the very least, it's 2 uses of Aether Hub, which is sometimes all you need to get around whatever your problem is.
World of 3 and 4 color energy decks, being able to take a shot to something like Attune with Aether should, at the very least, make them less consistent.
Or it's going to make them scale back some, you know, stick to 2 colors.
Right. And if there are multiple 2 color energy decks instead, then that's a little bit more variety within the world of energy, at least. Like, the common approach for things like this is ban one of the cards that enables the format to, or the deck to dominate the format. Don't actually ban the linchpins. So that's sort of what's going on here. And, you know, as mentioned before, Rogue Refiner is similarly, you know, a stabilizing effect because it draws you a card. So, and yeah,
it draws you a card, it gives you a 3/2 body and 2 energy. And essentially all of the decks were playing both of those.
Yeah.
Because why the hell wouldn't you?
Yeah. You're running green energy. Go with it. Like,
but like they didn't knock out something like, oh my god, my brain is just, I'm in Ixalan mode and Kaladesh was 2 blocks ago.
Well, like, imagine what would have happened.
Harness.
Whirler Virtuoso? Is that?
That's one, but no, the burn spell. Harness.
Harness Lightning.
Is that it? Is that what it's called? My brain, it's, like I said, I've been in Ixalan mode. I can't even.
I thought it was. Yeah, harnessed lightning.
Okay, good.
The one where you choose target creature, get energy, energy, energy. Then you can pay any amount of energy, and it deals that much damage to that creature.
Yeah, like that's one of the linchpins. You have to have that burn spell. And you have to have, like, the Whirling Virtuoso.
Well, like, could you imagine what would have happened if they'd actually just hit Aether Hub?
Ooh.
Like, they don't want to do that.
Yeah, that would have been sad.
Yeah. So, we'll see what the impact of this is.
They say in the article that they looked at Aether Hub, but they saw that Attune with Aether was more problematic.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of Attune with Aether, then Aether Hub was kind of,
Yeah, that brought its consistency down enough to where they didn't have to fool with any more of the fixing. Plus, leaving Aether Hub in there means that you can make energy decks that don't rely on green for its fixing.
Which is good.
Yeah. So, yeah. And the reason that they did this was because the teamer black or whatever, they're all manner of...
all the combinations
and they all use all these cards.
The non-white.
Their matchup percentages, their win percentages against so many of the decks in the format are just insane. And also, its chunk of the metagame was also insane, especially for the first week on Magic Online anyway, the first week of a new format. You know, a whole new set came out, yay! And nothing even came close to dethroning it or touching it or anything. So they decided to step in and try to do something.
It says in the article that 30% of the Magic Online competitive league events are some variation of Teamer Energy.
Yeah.
Even higher at premier events.
Did you guys notice that in the chart that they have here for Teamer Energy versus each of the decks? Like, yeah, it's pretty impressive up front, but look at the game 2+.
Yeah, they're all above 50% except for the red-green pummeler deck.
Which is 49.8%.
Exactly.
Good enough. Like, if you were of better than even chances of winning against every relevant deck, of course they're going to ban something. Like, that's not a metagame. You just play that deck, period. Like, doing anything else is stupid.
Which is what people have been doing for the most part, is playing this deck, which is why... Even on the last, what was it, Team Constructed, the Team Trios event, like, everyone was playing energy for the most part. And why wouldn't you? So, yeah. But the problem with knocking out these two cards, not to kill the deck, but to just bring its dominance down to manageable levels, is that if you do that, then the Ramanop Red decks will just run over everything. Which they did. You remember... Like, the first week that Ramanop Red decks were a thing, for like 3 weeks in a row, it's all you saw. Until the energy decks, you know, were figured out. Refigured out, I guess, is a...
Before the Borg adapted.
Exactly, yeah. And Ramanop Red was also almost at a... Well, the game 2+ here, it's got a 46% against the Teamer Energy. And then... 47.7% against Red Green Pummeler. Everything else is again over 50%. And the other decks are other Ramanop Reds, White Blue Gift, Sultai Red Energy. Wow. Sultai Snake, White Blue Cycling, Esper Approach, Mono Black Aggro, White Blue Approach, Mardu Vehicles, and Blue Black Control. It's just over 50% on all of those. So they decided to slow it down. Knock it back a little bit. And they did so by banning Ramanop Ruins, which...
Check that deck name.
Ramanop Ruined, more like... which I seem to recall when we first saw this card, we were like, damn. Because it's just inevitability, right? I think it even uses that word in here somewhere. It is a high level of inevitability. Yeah. Because... The mono red deck, the whole point is to get your opponent low, and then you've just got lands to kill them.
Yeah.
What can they do against that? Well, they die. That's what they do.
I mean, the main drawback of running an aggressive red deck is that you will eventually run out of resources, and if you haven't killed them before that, you lose. Well, you're not going to run out of resources when the card you've already played suddenly become those extra shocks you needed.
Exactly. So the other... So that one seems pretty obvious. But the other card they decided to ban, for some reason people are having a hard time with, it's Rampaging Ferocidon. The 3-3 with Menace, players can't gain life. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, the Ferocidon pings them. Or pings their controller, rather. Them being the player that played it. You know what I mean? You've seen the card.
Yeah. You know what this is.
And so, of course, that's a really good card for 3 mana. It's actually completely insane for 3 mana.
Yeah.
And lots of the Ramanop Red decks don't even play 4 in the main. Some of them just have them in the board. Some of them have them split between main and board. But they looked at the hard data, pre and post sideboard game win percentages. They determined that the Rampaging Ferocidon, let's see here, we have determined this to be one of the cards that most discourages and invalidates counterplay against the deck.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I love red decks, but like when you're running a card that's going to get rid of the main strategy for fighting against aggressive red decks, which is to gain a little bit of life or find some other way to stop them from just smashing into you with, you know, aggressively costed evasive creature that also prevents you from gaining life and does incidental damage if you try to play blockers. Yeah. What you gonna do? Like
that's an actual problem.
A note in the article that says it's worth noting that Rampaging Ferocidon was designed at the time of the Saheeli Felidar Guardian decks were coming to dominance the world.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's great.
Yeah, it's like, well, Ferocidon may have been an appropriate answer card in a more powerful metal game that contained that combo. We're gonna ban it later anyway.
Which is actually a fun commentary on the fact that bannings have potentially unforeseen consequences way later on in those formats. Like, this is a great way to address something that was also already banned in Standard.
They say it's instead proven to cause collateral damage against other decks aiming to counter aggressive red strategies. Aw. So, yeah, this is... This. You know... I do think it's interesting that they're getting over... Like, this particular article, they gave us so much more information than they've ever given us with any other banning.
Yeah, like a lot.
I kind of think that they kind of knew that if they banned these four cards just out of the blue and gave kind of information to back up the ban, that people would have lost their minds. So they were like, we need to go like really deep on justifying this.
Yeah, they had to go. They had to go hard in the paint, as the kids say.
I would also
Do
like
they say
to,
that.
No,
like in 1989 basketball. but yeah, the other thing to note here is that there, as you can see in the art, Rampaging Ferocidon has killed a Triceratops, and that is not cool.
That is not cool at all.
People like Triceratops, so you
that's the reason that scene in Jurassic Park in the book. It was not a Triceratops. I think it was a Stegosaurus in the book.
Like a sick. Oh, that's even more poop.
Was it a
Tops? That it. What? It's just sleeping. It's just sleeping.
Sick.
It's fine.
Triceratops Jurassic Park book. Hang on.
Well, you point that out.
You might need to take safe search. put safe search on,
just in case. I will note that I had one of the Jurassic Park toys from the original movie, and it featured the Triceratops with battle damage exactly where it is in this art, because they gave the dinosaurs battle damage where like chunks of them could just be bitten off by the T-Rex, and it looked so exactly like that.
That does create an interesting mental image of like the artist deciding to do the painting for this and just getting their little T-Rex toys.
Exactly.
And sitting them on the table.
This is the secret art direction that we'll find out about in the giant art book if any of us ever buys it. They're all very pretty, and I do not own any of them.
Okay, I could be wrong.
This Ferocidon is proclaiming this land.
The Triceratops trusted it and was not prepared for the cruel yet inevitable betrayal.
Curse your inevitable betrayal.
Wow.
Ferocidon is saying that to Watsy.
It all makes sense now.
Okay, so I can't actually find, just with a quick search, if it actually was a trike in the book. And my books are in a different room, and I'm not going to go get up and run in there and come back and flip through the book. So whatever.
So clearly, if you know, you're going to tell Chewy on the internet.
Yeah, somebody has already tweeted at me.
Yeah.
So it's fine. But the point was, you can't kill a Triceratops because people love Triceratops. Because look, they even turned this dinosaur into a Triceratops in the movie because people love them. And I hope that's right.
Yeah. So there you go. That's how standard works.
Yeah. So they didn't ban Rampaging Ferocidon because it's like super OP. They banned it because looking at the hard data showed that it was one of the main influencing factors in a high win rate after sideboarding. Does that make sense? They're not trying to kill the deck. They're not trying to cripple the deck by beating it about the head and shoulders with a hammer. They're just trying to slow it down a little bit so it's not running rampant all over the format.
Especially as its primary antagonist just got kneecapped.
It didn't get kneecapped either. Wizards, this is not Blizzard. When Blizzard nerfs things, they nerf it into freaking oblivion.
That is true. After it got, its parking was no longer validated. How's that?
There you go.
Fair enough.
Now it can't park in the deck. It has to park two blocks over with the rest of the decks. Anyway.
Now that they've banned these four cards, we're going to have a Pro Tour where we get to see now what the cascade effects are and what is now broken. Our banning's on February 12th.
Well, wait. Isn't that the next Pro Tour modern?
Is modern.
So Cascade is going to totally be wrecking stuff.
Right.
Cascade is, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see what you did there.
It worked out. Stupid elf.
Well, hold on. The next one's modern. Well, then, okay, if the next Pro Tour is modern, then they could have actually waited until the February 12th bannings to just see what Rivals, if Rivals did anything.
They could have, yes.
They must not have a lot of faith that Rivals is going to mix anything up then.
Well, they're looking at the Magic Online time already, which, so this is the thing that I've learned. When they're looking at like several days of Magic Online data, that's actually like thousands of games that they're looking at. So they have way more data from a few days of Magic Online competitive leagues and whatnot than we would from a single paper tournament. So
sure, but Rivals isn't online,
isn't it?
I mean, it is now.
At least this past weekend.
Yeah, what they had on Thursday was all sealed.
Oh, it was all sealed.
Well, it was League, but yeah. I think it was sealed League.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
I don't think, because it wasn't in Standard, you couldn't have played it in your Standard decks. Well, if that's wrong, someone tell me, but that's what I remember.
Like, what they said on the top, hang on. Make up significantly, okay. Okay, this gets shaken up again with the release of the next set. However, when an archetype begins a season immediately after the release of a new set with a metagame share of 20% or higher, that's when it starts raising red flags for us. So, Teamer Energy began Ixalan season in that range and only increased its hold on the format. Okay, so they're talking about last set. I could have sworn in here somewhere they said that when a new set came out and nothing popped up to beat it.
They might be talking about Ixalan.
It could
be. As opposed to Rivals. And yeah, Rivals hasn't had a...
Wait, go ahead.
Had a chance to physically either in MTGO or Paper Magic have a chance. So they must be looking at like what they think that people might be able to do with these cards. Otherwise, either that or the impact is just too crushing. Like what it is right now, they're like, oh, we can't wait.
That could be.
Because it's a red deck and it just laughs at that.
Wait, what does it laugh at?
Fire. Because it's red. It's just like, give me more. Kill fire with fire.
I mean, that's what they do.
I'd like them to try.
With wildfires, they actually set counterfires. But
burns. Yeah.
I don't think magic works that way, though.
Or what's that flavor text quote? Of course you fight fire with fire. You fight everything with fire.
That sounds like a Jai Ballard special.
It does sound like one, yeah. Oh, Lord. So, look, forgive our ignorance on exactly how they came up with this. For some reason, in my head, because Magic Online has gotten the new cards before paper has for the last several releases, I just assumed that it was already there. So that could be my bad. But either way, we've all looked at Rivals of Ixalan. There's nothing there that was going to knock either of these down. Let's be real.
Well, it's also just the fact that in order for the new cards to matter, they have to unseat some of the old cards. And you have a bunch of already running amazingly well decks. So between now and February, it's unlikely that some new architect would pop up and actually challenge things. So they're going ahead doing it now. If it turns out to be a problem, maybe they'll undo some of it in February. I don't know. They're giving themselves the option. I don't think they will, but they have the option. I also didn't think they were going to ban anything today, so what I think doesn't really matter that much.
It's true. So there you go. Look for more Scarab Gods in the future. Look for more, hopefully, some, you know, approach or some gift, you know, type decks to actually have a chance. Because we know they're there. They're a part of the metagame, but they just couldn't get any traction because... You remember the scene from A Christmas Story? When the kid is trying desperately to climb back up the slide.
Oh, yeah.
And the mall Santa just steps on his face and pushes him back down. Ramanop Red and Teamer Energy were Santa's boot. They were just like, ho, 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 just pushing him down the slide.
Stamping on a face forever.
No, it wasn't that bad. That was when we had the previous.
Well, that's why we have rotation. That's
exactly.
Why yeah, that right there is why we have rotation.
I was going to say, speaking of which, to put this in some broader context, I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
Question number one is energy. Shouldn't that have rotated already?
No.
Even when they did their short rotation...
It still wouldn't have.
...thing, this still wouldn't have rotated yet?
No, because it came out in Kaladesh, and it wouldn't be rotating until the April set.
Okay.
So well, this is just the format.
Yeah.
Then never
like, we no longer have carryovers from the old stuff anymore.
Second thing. So there have been people losing their minds over this because it is an announcement and they are Magic players and that's what we do.
That is sort of what they do. Yeah.
Over this. So there, I'm going to start by saying there seem to have been a lot of bannings in Standard lately. And then I'm going to say, no, there have been. Let's just go ahead and back that up.
Yeah,
By my count, looking at the banning timeline, there have been 10 times since Standard was created as the Standard we know it now. Mm-hmm. There have been 10 times that cards were banned in Standard. Sometimes it was more than one card. Sometimes it was just one. But I mean, when there were banning announcements, there have been 10.
Yeah.
Four of them have happened in the last year. And so this is going all the way back to 1998. Okay, that's so we're looking at 20 years worth here.
Yep.
And four of those happened in the last year. And that seems weird.
Well, there's a reason though. Like some of those bannings were because the concept of what was going to be in Standard changed on the fly and then changed back. Like that's reasonable. Like, obviously, they're trying to fix around that. But, like, that was a thing that, yeah, if you're going to change the nature of the format, then a lot of the practice is not going to work. We're, like I said, we've outgrown that now. So this should be settling back in. But as noted, like, our awesome, you know, red dinosaur who hates the much-beloved Triceratops was in part thrown in there to fight something that has already been banned out of Standard. So, like, these kinds of problems can cascade like that. Like, once you start messing with the format, which is why you generally try not to ban if you don't have to, you will create potentially big enough new problems to necessitate more bans.
And they've recently, like, some of the bannings, there have been vehicles, which was a brand new thing, energy, which is a brand new thing. I actually think that the rate at which they're trying new and wacky things has actually increased also. So
yeah, vehicles were kind of like comparing it to when they introduced equipment, which also had problems.
Yeah.
Like they don't know how good this is going to be.
if we're gonna accept the fact that Wizards is going to try new things, then we're gonna have to get some of that stuff wrong.
Yeah, and
or it's gonna take some fine tuning and tweaking stuff.
For all the people bitching and moaning that, oh my god, more standard bannings, right? That is a problem, but the worst problem would be not banning it and just letting the format stay miserable. So let's remember,
we have noted that standard kind of sucked.
Yeah, it is a problem.
So the counter,
their design is such that
yeah,
the format got so bad that they had to ban things. But at least they were willing to ban them. I will give them that. I wish it didn't come to it, but when it did came to it, grammar. I wish it didn't come to this, but when it did come to this, they stepped up and said, okay, we screwed up. These are banned. Hopefully that'll fix it. And, you know, for a while it did. Like, the bannings from last year had a massive effect that made Standard better than it was, was before the bannings. Granted, it's still not great, obviously, but they're working on it. Like, the last Standard banning was in June, so we had 6 months of ban-free Standard. Which is only a small consolation, but I'm glad they're willing to do it when it's necessary. I just wish they didn't make it necessary in the first place, you know. But like Perlman said,
you're not one of these
calling
for all of R&D to be fired because this is absolutely atrocious.
What? No, those people are just loud and obnoxious.
Whereas we are just obnoxious.
Yes, we are not loud. We are just obnoxious.
We give you, the listener, control of how loud we are.
That's right. Turn the volume up or down or pause
or mute or just, you know, stop and go listen to something else. It's fun.
But keep downloading it anyway.
I mean, I don't even care about that, so.
Potentially continue the download.
Do the download, and even if you don't listen, please rate them 5 stars on iTunes.
Whatever.
Enthusiasm.
So I too am sad that it came to this, but I'm glad that they're willing to step in and go, yeah, we got to do something.
Yeah. So
shall we move on to the commander bannings?
Yes, we should.
Yes.
So these are a doozy in that nothing happened. And of course, for those people who thought that allowing silver bordered cards to be played for a few months was the end of all things, you're good now. They're out again. All right. Calm down. Jeez.
Fun was had. Now they moved on.
I'm so sorry that you don't like fun. But
people having fun, not on my watch.
Yeah, well, I mean, B-Pril, you well know there are some people whose idea of fun is keeping everyone else from having fun when it comes to Commander. So,
yeah, and several of them are judges.
It's true, yeah. So the whole point, we're giving the people who raise the ruckus a hard time, because I have always had the opinion that unless you're playing in a store with people you don't know, or at a commander pod at a GP or something, what the ban list is doesn't matter. Because if you're just playing with friends, you go, hey, I'm going to put this in a deck. Is that all right? And they decide whether or not they want to let you do that. That's how my play group works. That's how lots of play groups work. So, like, people are like, silver border cards are legal, blah, 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 blah. Shut up. It was temporary anyway. You're fine. It's over now. You can come back out, blink in the new 2018 light, and go back to your store and play without fear of anyone flipping cards or saying gotcha or whatever. Or hosts and... what are they called? Hosts and... you know, those guys. Anybody?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't remember what they're called, though.
Yeah, because I didn't actually play any Unstable.
Augment?
That's the one. Yeah.
Oh, you meant in that context. I was hearing host, and I'm like, you mean like internet host?
Like I'm doing right now for this, yeah.
Oh, those are terrifying. Ah. Yeah.
Anyway, but nothing else changed, so... yeah. Still, if you want to play Silver Bordered, get a group of buddies together, put Silver Bordered cards in your decks, It'll be fine. It'll be fine. If you don't, that's also fine. Get a group of buddies and say no silver bordered cards allowed. That's what I do, because I don't like them either. I really don't. But it's fine. It'll be all right.
You mean we should let people enjoy things?
Now, no one's saying that. Okay, more news. There's been a change in the Corset 2019 release date. Okay, originally, it was announced as July 20th, 2018. But that has changed. They're moving it back to... Wait, no, they're moving it up. I'm sorry, what?
What?
Yeah, it's being moved up a week. It's now releasing July 13th. We don't know why, and they're not going to tell us. Like, the idea that we had before the show, I think Perlman said it, is that chances are there was some sort of conflict of some nature involving something.
I mean, yes, that's probably...
that's specific enough, yes.
Like, it's not that they were like, hey, look, this is going to be done a week early. Sweet, let's move it up. I kind of doubt that's the case. I think it was more
this
the case
to be
of
a conflict with another set or an event or something.
Yeah, they looked at some dates and went, oh, crap, that's not going to work.
Or it could be that they knew how much I like core sets and they wanted to get it to me sooner.
That is also not impossible.
Statistically insignificant.
It is highly unlikely, but I do like core sets, and I'm so glad that they're back, even if we don't know exactly what they're going to be like yet.
Yeah, even though we don't know anything about them.
Well, please is happy.
We know a few things, but not enough. I, for one, welcome our new core set overlords. They will likely have to ban five or six cards from this.
We just got out of a preview season. It was so long, 5 days. It was insane. Calm down. We'll get previews tomorrow. Got a preview February set, the one we don't know about.
That's that.
That's how you sneak conspiracy and you call it a core set and then you betray clues.
I've been betrayed before. I will be betrayed again.
But yeah, just to note, so they changed the dates for the open house, pre-release weekend, draft weekend, Magic Online launch, and the actual sale date. They did not change the dates of the Corset 2019 Store Championship or the 25th Anniversary Pro Tour. So those are all still the same. I guess they just get an extra week to prepare.
Yeah, and all of those are in the article. The link is in the show notes. Go click on it.
I have a new theory for why they moved it up.
Okay.
Okay, so tinfoil hat time. Okay, so you know how there's always like one big box retailer that starts selling the product a week earlier and then they're not supposed to?
Right.
So now we'll just have everybody sell it a week early.
Oh.
See?
Won't that big box retailer just move it up another week?
No, because they don't pay attention to any of this WPN stuff. So they'll just never know. We're just going to mail them boxes that still have stamped on them when the release date is, but it'll be the old release date.
Sort of like when you have that friend that's always late.
Yeah, and so you tell
them. And you give them a different time.
Yeah.
Give them a different time so they show up on time.
By the way, us always late people resent that too.
Well, too bad.
You know, there's a way to fix that.
No, there is not.
Not if you keep giving them the wrong time.
I also cannot be on time for things, so just ignore that.
I mean, I am historically bad at getting to events on time.
Oh, God.
And, like, Clues is bad at getting to recording on time.
I was about to say that. Chewy and I are
bad at stopping Overwatch in time to begin recording once Clues gets here. So, really, we all suck at time. You must have quit.
Oh, there's an old joke. Okay, so, with a new set release comes things...
Why would a Wookiee live on Endor?
Does not make sense.
That does not make sense.
Is that a reference? I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
We'll tell you when you're older.
I'm pretty old.
Yeah, but you're not older.
I'm not as old as, you know, Perlman and Clues, so I guess I'm not older.
There was a South Park episode where they had Johnny Cochran.
The Chewbacca defense. Yeah, okay.
Defense.
Thank you. I can never remember what the Chewbacca defense was. I just remember that he said it. And I'm like, wait, what?
Now, Chewbacca is a Wookiee from the planet Kashyyyk.
Don't do the whole thing. No.
Thank you. Okay. So with the new set release comes other things, the Rivals of Ixalan update bulletin is out, where the comp rules and Oracle changes that they've worked on happen. Most of the comp rules are all fiddly nonsense that I'm sure they talked about on JudgeCast or will. And he's muted, so never mind.
No, I was just like, maybe.
Yeah, see?
Oh, wait, no, there is something important here.
Yeah, there is. We have four more dinosaurs.
Yes, that was it.
Yeah. They've added four more, changed four more creatures to dinosaurs. The Gnathosaur, that's with a G. The Gnathosaur, you know, the G is silent, so it's Gnathosaur.
Yeah, like the Gnat.
What is that from? That is from Mirrodin Besieged. The Terran Ghost from Darksteel. The Regal Behemoth from... What is that from? What is that?
That's Conspiracy,
oh, Conspiracy Take the Crown. And the Ripscale Predator from... Is that Gatecrash? Gatecrash, yeah.
I think that's Gatecrash.
So, look, you have four or more dinosaurs to play with. The Terran Ghost is actually a dinosaur spirit.
Which is amazing.
That is pretty sick, yeah. And the other Oracle changes are fiddly and non-functional, so whatever. You're that interested
just like
in
this
that,
show.
Yes. If you're that interested in that sort of thing, you probably read this when it came out. And if you're not, well, hey, links in the show notes. Go check it out, partner.
Oh, why?
Also, when a new set releases, we get the policy changes for the judge program. Most of these are also for the average player and person listening to this, fiddly and unimportant. Whether or not you have the city's blessing or you are the monarch is free information. So if someone asks, do you have the city's blessing? You have to tell them. Just like how many cards are in your hand or what's in your graveyard. That's just information that you have to give honestly.
You can't do anything like anything coy with, do you have city's blessing? And it's like, well, I've got 9 permanents now. Oh, you gotta go, yeah, I got city's blessing.
Yeah.
Just makes you a jerk. Don't do that.
The other thing that actually matters a little bit at competitive and professional rules enforcement levels, you can't use dice to track poison or energy. You have to use something that has a record.
So that changed.
What?
That change is you now have to, in addition to keeping track of your life total, okay, yep, you have to keep track of poison and energy. For all three of them, you can't use dice at a competitive or professional.
Yes.
So life totals also.
Wait. I thought that was always the case with life total.
It wasn't explicitly the case until, I want to say, relatively recently.
What would happen is it was always to your disadvantage to use dice, because when there was a discrepancy up and you'd have one person with a sheet of paper that has all the life total changes and another person's like, well, I'm just showing 12.
Yeah, usually didn't go in their favor because there's no record.
Right. Right. Now, that wasn't always the case, but there was a pretty strong, compelling argument where you had a record of a person's life total changes constantly. And then when you ask the guy with the player with the dice, and they're just like, I took some damage maybe here or there. I don't have a good record now. Yes, please keep your record. Knock over the dice or anything like that. Because that gets problematic also.
Yeah, when the guy two seats down stands up and bumps the table and your d20 rolls, that's probably not good. So yeah, that's important. The rest of it is, fiddly judgy nonsense that mostly judges and high-level players need to know. So, whatever.
Fiddly judgy nonsense. Thank you for being, my career, as it were. As fiddly judgy nonsense. Thank you.
You are welcome. Look, to the average listener of this show, that's all it is. And they're the ones I'm worried about here.
If I'm trying to describe it to someone, fiddly judgy nonsense is just fine. It just hurts to hear it from you, okay?
You're not mad. You're disappointed.
Yes.
Love you, B-Pril. I don't believe you were so close to me. You were in Atlanta and you didn't just drive the other... 6 hours to come see me? What a jerk.
I had to keep going back to the hotel every few hours to like get a wristband or something to go see a show thing for 15 minutes and then go back to the bar.
Had to go back to the bar.
That was the actually bar. I was in the bylaws, yeah.
I was my daughter informed me that me and all the other drama dads had formed a squad.
Ah, did you have goals?
Is that what a group of drama dads is a squad?
That's apparently, a noun, yes.
Yes, a group of drama dads is called a squad.
But did you have goals? Were there squad goals?
I think they involved alcohol.
Gotcha.
It did. In front of me must never be empty. Done.
Okay, so we got sidetracked because this last thing is a thing we really have to talk about and really don't want to. So, on January 12th, a thing happened, and it's entitled Making Magic Spaces Safer. And this is where is this? It's on the Wizards of the Coast Company page. And it's also in the Wizards Play Network section of the website. So the links to both of these will be in the show notes, by the way, so you can read them. But let's see here. How do we start this? Recently, a few former judges and players had their sex offender status posted to social media. In accordance with our policy, which I would like to go off script and note, that policy didn't exist when the first big sex offender banning happened that caused so much kerfuffle. The Zach Jesse banning from however many years ago that was, that still pisses me off. Anyway, in accordance with our policy, the majority had already had their access to Magic organized play suspended indefinitely and were not active in the Magic community. So, that's a thing. Now, there's a whole big hoopla here about safety and this and that and the other, but at the bottom it says, as part of our commitment to safe and inclusive spaces, tournament organizers and retailers will be explicitly required to conduct background checks for all staff as permitted by applicable law. This includes Channel Fireball Events Grand Prix, local store events like Friday Night Magic, and professional events like the Pro Tour and World Magic Cup, as well as convention play run by Wizards. Now, this is deceptively huge. Like, oh, okay, well, cool. You read that and you're like, all right, that sounds great. No, actually, it does not. And this is part of the reason why we brought Brian Prilliman in on this episode, is because he is an actual active judge and is well informed. He is not speaking when we talk about this as a representative of Magic judges or anything of that nature. He's speaking as a private citizen who happens to be a judge who has to deal with stuff like this.
I'm just me.
He's just mossy old Prilliman.
Yeah.
What? I forget where the mossy thing came from. Are you so old you have moss growing on you? Because that doesn't make sense.
That is perhaps like the before show Patreon. It's that kind of story.
Ah, okay.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you're looking for my thoughts on this whole thing.
Like, what?
Hey, clues?
Yeah.
Swearing on Monday Night Magic?
I'm afraid there is no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
I have no opinion.
So I showed this to my Manipool co-host Mike. Like, I was talking about this and he goes, I didn't see that. So I pulled it up and handed him my phone and he read it. Now, Mike is a person, his job is to come up with financial plan. He's a financial analyst He's a pricing analyst. There we go. For companies that do contracts. Like, they have a contract to do all of this stuff. And he is one of the people who takes into account all of the nonsense that goes with that and come up with a pricing thing for that project. Okay? That's what Mike does. Mike looked at this and he goes, this will never work. And I said, what? He goes, this is completely untenable. And I, for one, hope that Channel Fireball Events goes, we need to renegotiate our contract because this is insane. And I went, oh.
Yeah, so I'm not going to be able to give like a ton of information on this simply because there's Wizards is an organization. The judge program is, or depending on who you are, you may or may not feel that the Judge Program is an independent organization. EOs are definitely an independent organization.
That was TOs since he cut out. Yes. Tournament organizers are independent of Wizards of the Coast.
Yes, loose federation of tournament organizers. And this right here, this whole thing is set up as a WPN, which means if tournament organizers are reading this and going, things I can't, you know, or things I can't say on Monday Night Magic, then the correct thing to do is to call WPN representative there. The WPN people have been informed of this. They know about this. They should be able to answer questions. Coming to the judges, since we aren't the WPN reps, we're not necessarily lawyers. We don't necessarily know how to interpret this stuff because we're just figuring it out too.
Yeah.
Tournament organizers who happen to also be judges are calling and getting word out as to what this stuff means. We're learning about it as well. And most of your listeners and most of the people that I deal with are U.S. citizens. The judge program is international.
Yep.
And tournament, you know, WPN is international also. So as you go from different country to different country, the answers as to what this stuff means, as in the announcement, it says required to conduct background checks for all staff as permitted by applicable law. There's actually some countries that it's just straight illegal to ask. I think, again, I am not a lawyer and I'm definitely not a German lawyer.
It would be much funnier if you weren't a lawyer, but you were a German lawyer. I'm sorry. Go on. I derailed you.
I understand the way their system works is once you get out of jail, you're clean. If your sentence is 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, they don't let you out unless they feel that you've paid your debt to society. There's no background checks. And I could be wrong. I'm not actually from Germany. I'm relying on something that has been told to me from someone in that area. So case where it says as permitted by applicable law, well, you can't ask. So meh. So reading the specific section 15 of the WPN agreement, it says not employ or otherwise engage staff or other individuals who interact with the public on your behalf who, and then it lists some stuff, but what they're saying is TOs, the guy behind the counter at your store, takes registration at your event, has to meet the criteria of a sex offender registry or its international equivalent, and or has been convicted by a court of competent jurisdiction for a violent sexual offense or crime. Now, I think, and again, I'm going to add the disclaimer, not a lawyer. Convicted by a court of competent jurisdiction for a violent sexual offense or crime against children, you will appear on a sex offender registry in the U.S.
That's what it's there for, right?
So, U.S., the sex offender registry is a Department of Justice thing that you can just go and look up.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of other things in here. Like, you don't know, like, how often you have to check. Like, is it before every event? How do you have to, if you've had any aliases, do you have to provide all of those?
Well, I mean, it says you will at all times remain responsible. So,
this is something that I would definitely advise any TO to contact their WPN representative and just ask the necessary questions, because depending on what country you live in, this could be not so big a deal. This could be a big deal as far as the effort and the cost expenditure. Been allowed to do it because you're getting into a lot of countries. You can't do background checks unless people are employees. Well, that gets into the whole judge is a judge employee, not an employee thing.
There's already a whole big thing about that.
Yeah. So it's definitely a bit of a mess as far as having background checks in concept. I'm not philosophically against them. Execution or the rollout of this seems haphazard.
Wait, seems what? You blinked out again.
I believe you said haphazard.
Ah, haphazard. Okay.
Dukes of Hazzard. I said Dukes of Hazzard.
It seems those Duke real boys have got themselves into some trouble again.
Right. They just like, oh, we need to make a thing on the WPN, and like someone just slid across the hood of a car and then like jumped in the window and they took off across a canyon, jumping over while Roscoe Pico train petted his basset hound. I don't know. And then right as the WPN update was jumping over the chasm, it paused for a voiceover by Waylon Jennings.
I gotta say, I feel like a good chunk of our audience doesn't get any of that joke, and that makes me sad.
No, they're better for it.
What?
Yeah, I said it. So, look, I grew up in the world of the Dukes of Hazzard. I don't need that in my escapism.
So yeah, there's just. And Clues, we were talking about beforehand, Clues was asking the question about how a new judge comes on, because like their introduction is going to be, you know, hey, I want to start help run this tournament. Okay, cool. We need to do some level of check against you to make sure that you're not a sex offender. That's a great introduction.
It really is. It is. You know, particularly. And again, we want to stress, we're in early times here. We don't really know exactly what the details of this policy are going to come down to. And even if we knew, it would only be what applied here in the U.S. If you're listening overseas, probably something completely different. But you can just imagine if you have to do a full background check of someone, it's like, oh, you want to help out at F&M or you want to help out at this pre-release, passing out product and maybe answer a few rules questions. Yeah, that's great. I'm going to need your name, your date of birth, all aliases you've ever had, and maybe your previous four addresses. I don't know. Maybe your social. I just put all that stuff on this piece of paper, and I'll get back to you in 20 minutes.
Whereas the old process was
3 weeks.
The old process was Clues going, how do you feel about blue? And then yelling, get
hey,
out.
Hey, 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 hold it, hold it, hold it. I never did that. I want to be clear about that.
I'm going to need you to provide a background proof of that, Clues. I want a record.
My hatred for blue never influenced my actions as a judge. As a player, yes, there was much swearing, but not on Monday Night Magic.
Yeah, because it's not allowed.
That's right.
So,
I hate to not have a whole lot to have more questions than I have answers on this.
But it's important that you, of all people, I mean, you're a level 3 judge. You're like, aren't you the guy that's in charge? What are you in charge of?
The exemplar program.
Yeah. You're like a relatively big muckamuck and you don't have the answers. And that's important. Don't.
I'm going to put that on my resume.
Relatively big.
I will endorse that on LinkedIn. Get on that right now.
But this is an important point, is that the judges don't know. This was dropped on them same as it was dropped on everyone else.
One of the things that's kind of frustrating at the same time is because of the way this is set up, the judges, we on paper, this is the only part of this is nice, is on paper, we have no responsibility for this. This is all on the tournament organizers to check and make sure. Now, side is tournament organizers are going to turn right around and look at us and say, well, what's this mean? And we're going to be like, I don't know.
There is that.
Contact your WPN rep.
Send them an email.
So
you're going to hear that a lot.
Right. And
display network.
And be prepared to say that. Don't pretend you know, because you don't.
There is a concern that TOs, if they have to pay for this, they're going to pass the expense on to the judges. And people have already compared to Pokemon. I did a little bit of digging into how Pokemon does things, because Pokemon, in order to become a Pokemon judge or Pokemon professor, you have a background check in which you send that type of information to the Pokemon company. And the Pokemon Company does a background check, and that background check is good for to redo it like every time you advance a level. You have to like re-up your Poke points or Poke level or
thing. Your
pocket currency.
The question, and the Pokemon Company pays for that. Why don't we do something like that with WotC and Wizards? And I think it's to the argument as to whether or not judges are employees or not. On my part, I have no basis for that. It's just kind of it's what makes sense to me.
Are Pokemon professors considered employees? Like, I don't know.
No, but then last I heard, no Poke professors were suing Pokemon.
There is that, yeah.
So. Also, sending in your social security information is very extreme.
And also,
it's an extreme path to walk.
Didn't you say that it was sent to the Pokemon Company, whatever their actual name is?
Their actual name is.
So it actually goes to them.
One place.
And they handle it. Which is not the case with the current, as far as we know, Magic thing, because Wizards has said, we're hands off, we're not doing this. The TOs are doing this. And there are a gazillion TOs. Like, your local store, if they run F&Ms, they're a TO. So, that's a problem. If Wizards was handling this, you could re-up with Wizard. They're not, so this is just me talking. If Wizards was handling this, you could send it to them, and you're now on the list of been background checked. But you're not, so if you want to do judging at like a Star City event, you have to do the background check there. If you want to do a Channel Fireball event, you have to do a background check there. If you want to do two of your local stores, bounce back and forth between them, you have to do a background check with each one. It's a god-awful mess. And you're just giving out personal information to all kinds of people. And I'm just saying, I have had local game stores around here where I wouldn't give the owner or the TO, same thing in that case, that kind of information ever. He no longer owns any of the local stores around here, but I would never, ever have given him any of my personal information.
Here's the funny thing. Like, if you work there, these tournament organizers, if they run events, they get to background check themselves. Oh, that's great. Now, again, if you have any questions, or I keep repeating this, contact your WPN, because I'm just speculating. It seems like just checking if they appear on the sex offender registry at least in the U.S., appears to satisfy this requirement. Which is a relatively quick and while possibly upsetting, is not a process in terms of time or dollars.
Although that's your reading of it. Other people are having different.
Right. Which is why I'm saying contact your WPN representative, because everyone's trying to figure this out.
Yep.
And you have a month, a little over a month to figure it out.
So get on the horn.
Yeah.
And get it figured out.
Get on the horn and get it figured out. I think had Wizards taken a little bit more time and exercised,
you faded.
If Wizards had taken a little more time, what?
Had taken a little bit more time to consider how this, the vagueness of this was going to be taken, the confusion and concerns could have been addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Take an extra week and get this thing massaged, or come out with an additional article that says, here's what this means in plain English or plain German or all the various languages and all the countries that this appears in.
Plain Balearen.
Wait, no, that's a font, not a language.
Yeah, whatever. He's right in your head. But this is one of those things where when things like this happen in response to things going on in the community, things will get rushed because they want to show, you know, that they're taking things very seriously. And as a result, you get mess and confusion like this.
Yeah.
And this is one of those instances where if WotC says they're working on something, believe that they're working on something for at least a few weeks so that they don't feel as much pressure to rush these things out. Like, this is in response to community concern. And when we rush people, we get what happens when you rush people. So hopefully this will be cleaned up before any of it is actually enforced, because as noted, it's not very tenable as written and as vaguely defined as it is right now. If they ever plan on doing anything of substance with this, they're going to have to do better. And for now, we're just going to have to wait for it.
Yeah. Like, okay, let me editorialize for a minute. I understand where they're coming from. Like, there was a bit of public outcry, and Wizards as a company had to formulate a response. My problem with this is that it was manufactured outcry, because, as was said in the odds and ends before the show, this will keep from happening a repeat of the zero instances from ever happening again. Like, this has never been an issue. This is a non-issue. But because public outcry happened, manufactured or not, Wizards had to take a stand, and this is the sort of crap you get. So for all the people who are listening who are like, yeah, if this helps save even one child, it was worth it, shut up.
Let's clarify as to what the zero instances are. Zero instances of something happening to a child at a magic event.
Exactly. What was that number again? Prillman?
Zero?
Zero, there it was.
I bet he replied, Mike? And it got cut out.
I bet he did, yeah.
It just sounded like he left you hanging so hard there. He's like, yeah, I got you to say it. This is great.
So, yeah, this is not a response to something happening. If this was a response to something happening, then, yeah, go for it. Nothing happened. Nothing was gonna happen. Everything was fine. Nothing was ruined. This was not standard, where everything was ruined and nothing was fine. Ramanop ruined. So, yeah. Everybody calm down. Stop being angry on the internet. I know that's not gonna happen, but please. As we always try to do on this show, we try to get everyone to stop typing and use some critical thinking before you start typing. And if everyone did that, we wouldn't have this kind of crap. So just, everyone, remember, Wheaton's Law. Just don't be a dick. It's fine. Everything is fine. Okay? Are we good? We're good. Also, don't feed the trolls. Another thing that would have saved some of this. So, have we beaten this horse to death?
I think if it isn't dead, we should leave it alone because it's had a bad day.
All right. Will a background check show that we've beaten this horse to death?
Which country are we talking?
Okay. See, there's the problem again.
Yeah, and it'll take somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks of results.
Oh my god. So do we have any? Wait, is that it? Do we have magical online news?
Just a little.
You've been kind of quiet for this.
Who, me? Yeah. Well, look, I've had nothing to add. You guys have been on top of this. It's.
The way it's supposed to go is I was just supposed to agree with whatever Clues said.
You don't know is that Clues is running a background check on you right now.
Right now.
And he knows it's going to take a few weeks, so he's going to get back to you in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm just waiting. I'm doing a background check on check process, actually.
That actually, a point is that we were talking about in the before show is, The WPN agreement says background check. This is not a legal document. It's not necessarily using like legal terminology or anything like that. So we're not even really sure what background check.
We don't know what they mean by that, right? Like at all.
Right. So it can't mean like the FBI's definition of a background check, because this document applies to everyone. And then was it Squee? You were pointing out beforehand that the like section 20F.
Yeah, the force majeure's part is just full of jokes.
Yeah.
So this cannot be a legal document.
Although, I mean, they could be with the planning for robot uprisings. They could be just very forward thinking.
Yeah, whenever Plan 9 goes into effect, they will be ready.
Yeah. I'm really... I'm really surprised it doesn't say, like, the execution of Order 66.
Well, hold on, that's a different intellectual property. They couldn't...
Like, until, Plan 9?
Until Disney buys Hasbro. So 20.F, force majeure, Wizards shall not be will not be liable for any delay or failure to perform resulting from causes outside our reasonable control, including but not limiting to any failure to perform here under due to unforeseen circumstances. Oh, this is all boring stuff. And then it gets to the list of things, which is acts of God, war, zombie apocalypse, acts of civil or military authorities, Plan 9, robot uprising, Phyrexian incursions, fire, Eldrazi awakening, riot, strikes, shortages of transportation, fuel, mana, energy, labor, or materials. However, I would say, where it says causes outside our reasonable control, I would have to say that any Phyrexian incursions and Eldrazi awakenings are actually under their reasonable control.
Yeah, they've got that on lockdown. Like, that's why they have Gleemax. That is the check that's keeping them at bay.
Realistically, like, if there actually is an Eldrazi awakening, that's under WotC's reasonable control.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on them.
Completely.
All right, well, how about, now that the record shows that this horse is definitely dead and our hands are bloody with the blood of this horse, let's knock out the Magic Online bits and get the hell off of this episode.
Fair enough. That horse was amazing. So, as usual,
I was thinking it too.
I was not. Now I feel bad.
So, as usual, the Magic Online news gets posted on Tuesdays and we record on Monday. So most of the stuff in the weekly notes that we're linking to is irrelevant. For the most current stuff, go to the Wizards website and go to products, Magic Online, and then view the current article. That'll be 116 by the time you listen to this to know what's actually coming up. The main highlights going on right now are that they are wrapping up with the vintage cube, or I guess they probably wrapped up on it today since it ran through the 15th. And now they're moving into, obviously, Rivals of Ixalan time, so you can have fun with that. You can follow the link in the show notes to get more information on, you know, signing up for that, the time frames, all that fun nonsense. The other more entertaining thing going on in Magic Online is, of course, the bug blog was updated last week. So I get to tell you all of the ways that you don't actually have to worry about a computer uprising. So there's actually a lot on here, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the ones that I think are funny. So the Scarab God does not respect 706.9D and replaces characteristic defining abilities when creating copies of creatures.
That bastard.
The Scarab God does not respect. That is, in fact, written into the code as a diss, in which case 706.9D has only one chance, which is to dance back, at which point it will be on. Just let you laugh at that for a second.
All right, I have to mute.
Fair enough, then. Okay, so we're going to move on now. So when Blood Moon's in play, you are incorrectly prompted to name creature types for lands that require you to name one as they enter the battlefield. Blood Moon is confused. I think it may be, you know, in a weird place because of the Blood Sun thing. So let's just give it some space. Yeah, we're going to ignore the stuff about the Blood Link Keeper's tokens because they don't have lifelink. You should know that, for shame. Split cards are unable to be cast through hideaway lands from Lorwyn, such as Sheldock Isle. That's just weird. I guess be aware of that. All right, I like this part. Roisin Meanderer, who is one of my favorite dumb cards, has this ability where you can add 4 colorless mana to your mana pool, and you can spend it only on things that cost X. Well, Roisin Meanderer is unable to contribute mana to spells that ask an opponent to pay X, such as Condescend. I appreciate that Roisin Meanderer cannot be bothered to deal with Condescend. good on her. She's got other stuff to think about. Let's see. Yeah, there's some nonsense. Hey, it's Death Shadow. Death Shadow can become larger than 1313 and does not respect the recent rules change to 107.1b. We have a clear issue of no respect going on furthered by Austeel Command not respecting 7114.B, treating converted mana cost of the backside of double face permanents as zero. So much disrespect. This is terrible.
Wait, what is the converted mana cost of the backside of a double face permanent?
I guess I would have to check 7114.B, but I don't respect it either. So I
mean, that was more a question for our judges.
Oh, like oh, that's fair. Yeah, you guys know all those numbers, right?
Who are sitting here quietly.
Oh.
What
the question
that?
Was dealing with the backside of water or...
of water? Yes.
What's the mana cost of the backside of a double face card?
Is the same as the front face.
Oh, okay. So Austeer Command just...
Unless you want to get like weird with copy effects and stuff like that.
No, not
and
at all.
And I just realized I was muted.
Yeah, you did.
What he said.
Clues does not respect Austeer Command because Austeer Command may be a white card, but it feels blue enough. All right, so moving on. Here's something funny. So Kamigawa flip cards such as Stab Whisker the Odious, I just wanted to say out loud, are displayed as enchantments and do not respect the attack with all function or changes to power and toughness. That's even more disrespect. I like whoever wrote this just use the word respect everywhere now. So you can work around that by clicking the creature separately to attack with it, then right-click the creature to display its correct power and toughness, so you can teach it respect. That's nice. Here's a funny one. If Trastodon targets permanents an opponent's indestructible permanent, so yours and an indestructible opponent, it will incorrectly create an elephant for your opponent.
Terastodon, remember, says, for each permanent put into a graveyard this way, it creates a 3-3.
Yep.
So that's a simple coding error that hopefully they'll fix.
Yep. I like to think that it was an elephant you didn't ask for, but you will gladly accept. Yeah, so Ashiok Nightweaver is unable to put a creature with converted mana cost equal to its current loyalty onto the battlefield. That's just weird.
What?
I don't understand that at all.
Well, I've got three loyalty, and that thing costs three, and I don't like it. What?
I like to think that that's Ashiok not wanting to die.
Ashiok's a diva.
I mean, diva doesn't want to die either, so that's fair. Here's a fun one. Sheldock Isle and other hideaway lands from Lorwyn do not allow you to play lands. So, yeah, again, I like how Sheldock Isle is the go-to example for these things. Fun times. Samurai of the Pale Curtain does not exile Curtain. Or Curtain's God. That's funny, too. Samurai of the Pale Curtain does not exile tokens. So, however, if they're curtain tokens, then why did you even have those? Good job. And here's the most critical change of all. The art for the wolf token created by Garrick the Veilcursed is incorrect. That is some incorrect wolf art. Unacceptable. Uninstall.
It does not respect the proper wolf art.
Damn shame. Speaking of which, Archangel Avacyn and Garrick the Veilcursed, you'll note these are both neat legendary things that flip. Do not respect Commander Color Identity.
That's terrible.
That is awful. Yep. And the other stuff doesn't really matter. Those are the funny ones. So for a full list, click on the link. You can also see a full list of the other things that were existing problems as well as what's been fixed. Just remember that when it comes to Magic Online, if you are the victim of a bug, you should report it and you can sometimes get a refund. If you take advantage of a bug and get reported, then you are cheating and you shouldn't cheat anyway. But be aware of what does and doesn't work, and if possible, try not to use things that don't work in your deck. Sometimes they come up more forcefully in Limited. I'm sure that whatever gimmick they use each week or month this year, we'll dig out even more old cards and we'll find even more funny interactions. But in the meantime, that's all we got. And that'll do it for Magic Online. So, respect.
All right, then. So should we wrap it up?
Probably.
Information and all that?
Yeah, so I will start, I guess. This past weekend I was at Ichiban Con, and I'm going to tell a quick story and then give the sign out. So Sunday morning, leaving the hotel, riding the elevator down one floor at a time, as is the nature of conventions when everyone's trying to get their stuff out. We are overlooking the main lobby, and we can see in the main lobby at a table sitting all by himself was what I'm going to dub Hangover Spider-Man. Hangover Spider-Man is wearing the full Spider-Man costume. He has a backpack, so he's probably younger. And he's simply hunched over on the table like he's completely defeated. And he is staring at a salt shaker. And he occasionally picks up the salt shaker, shakes his head, and puts it back down. I got to observe this behavior for about 3.5 minutes as the elevator slowly made its way down. I regret not taking a picture of it, but at the time I didn't think to.
I'm shaking his head, not the salt shaker?
Yeah, he's shaking his head, not the salt shaker. And so I'm really hoping that his spider sense is just picking up Margaritaville. Because it's there. He seems to know where it is, but he doesn't seem to see it. And it was absolutely amazing, specifically because it was Spider-Man. And you could not see his face at all. But when you see a Spider-Man hunched over, probably feeling miserable, in the Spider-Man costume, first thing Sunday morning while other people are eating breakfast, it's amazing. So that's why you should go to conventions. Weird stuff happens. That said, you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinToBob. There's no I in Goblin because it was both disrespected and also the legality surrounding it and its background status is questionable. So I did not trust it to be on this episode. It may come back in the future. I don't know. Find out in 2 to 4 weeks. And yep, that's where you can find me. That's where you can message me. Go Clues.
Hey, I don't have any interesting stories about hungover Spider-Men or salt shakers. I apologize. Go back and listen to Squeeze Story again. It was really good. But if you want to get in touch with me, your best bet is the Twitters. I'm at Locke Luzze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. Or I guess I haven't checked the show notes. I should probably do that.
Why would you? The viewers don't. Crap, listeners don't.
Neither of those categories do.
Oh, wait, this goes up on YouTube. Ha, the viewers
That's
don't.
Right.
Yeah.
What,
and that's that like it? All I got. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, then. Well, how about you, Private Citizen Prilliman?
Hi. I didn't prepare like an outro.
Judge Cast a lot.
If you want to learn more about judging rules, tournament operations, that kind of thing, you can go on judgecast.com. We are coming up on episode 200 soon-ish.
Wow.
So give us a listen. Yeah. So we've been doing it for close to every other week for close to 7 years now.
That's pretty crazy.
We've got a topic on pretty much everything we want and some that you don't want. So check us out go play some magic.
I have a suggestion for a show topic. would you like my suggestion for a show topic now or after the show?
Right now. It's good.
Right now? So I think a really great topic that I think a lot of judges would benefit from is best places to eat in cities with large tournaments.
See, I don't know if he's cutting out or if he's just leaving you hanging again.
Yeah, I can't tell either.
The answer actually turns to best places to eat in cities with large tournaments. The answer really ends up being wherever you can walk to and get back in time.
No. I'm talking like at night or after the tournament. Yeah. I mean, during the tournament, it's whatever crappy food they've got in the convention center. Cause you have one round to get food. So
you're talking like after.
Yeah. Like after, like you've come to this town for this tournament before you leave, you really need to go and eat it at this place.
So immediately my thought goes to the logistics of, well, with shift work, the people that you want to go to aren't getting off on the same shift. So then you're going to sit around and then you find out that nobody has a car. And then
overthink it. This is pie in the sky, man. In fact, is there a place called Pie in the Sky and can we go there? And again, you don't have to come up with it now. I'm saying this is a show topic for.
Is Pie in the Sky a dessert place or a pizza place?
Can't it be both?
I mean, I wish, but it's not, and you know it.
I know it's not, yeah.
Two different pie in the skies is you'd have to go to different cities for...
Yeah, I was going to say...
You have to go to different skies.
Like, that's pie right. in the sky on the West Coast is probably a dessert place. Pie in the sky on the East Coast, that's pizza.
What is it in the flyover states? Because that's what really needs this.
there it's a
there
pancake
was,
house.
No, there was one.
But it, pancake house.
There was one, but it well. Closed. That's what it is in the flyer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a pie in the sky pizzeria in Madison, Virginia.
Well, now you know.
Madison.
To later below it on Google, I see Pie in the Sky Bakery and Cafe in Woods Hole, Cape Cod. Oh, wow.
All right, then.
Oh, hey, I've been to Madison for work. It's
for pie? Just
north of Charlottesville. Huh, how about that?
Okay, yeah, I personally go to Judge Cast whenever I want to relive all the glory of the mistrigger policy update barrage of several years back. Because they covered every single one of them and had to go back over and over again every 3 weeks.
Well, there actually was a lost episode of Judge Cast. This was before, so after and Ricky, who were the previous hosts of Judge Cast, quit.
That was or, who and Ricky?
Sean Cantonese.
There you go. Because it blinked out. Yeah, all it was and Ricky.
And before CJ and Jess Dunks took over, Deb Freeland, Ben McDowell, and myself recorded an episode of Judge Cast. And we started talking about the mistrigger policy. We just started making fun of it so much that we realized that we couldn't actually use the episode anymore because we'd gone on for about a half an hour just trashing it.
And that is the difference in quality that you get from Judge Cast versus here, where we run all of it.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we also started getting rather vulgar. And about a half an hour into that, I was like, I can't edit this. And we're like, oh, well, we'll just record it later. And then we never recorded later. Hard drive, I just have this absolute 45 minute just rant on lapsing triggers and that whole nightmare of a policy.
And what Patreon tier do we need to be at to get a copy of that?
That was gonna be my question.
It needs to be that's like career ending right there. It's just the rants that we were doing right there. So like 10 grand, I don't know.
Dang.
I mean, I'm kind of looking at it as just like, it's like, okay, Deb's retired, Ben's quit, so I'm the only one. So what would it
like your call? Golden parachute is what you're saying?
I'm sitting here like, what would it take me to like cash out? I was like, oh yeah, I could get a new roof and just call it quits.
Give you the gift of freedom.
Oh my god.
I have a price. Well, that's it.
All right, then.
All right. Well, we've all learned things today.
As my parents like to say, as mom says about the old man, he's not cheap, but he can be bought. So, quick personal story. Mom came over today to help me start the process of getting the other, like my new office all ready to go, which involved lots of moving things from point A to point B, and then cleaning, and then moving heavy things from point B back to point A. And during this time, I was reminded that my mom's, and she's going to kill me for saying this on air. Luckily, she'll never hear it.
I gotta say, does she listen to the show?
My mom's favorite random like insult when something goes wrong is, "Ah, you cheap slut."
Can you say that on Monday Night Magic?
Like, when, I'm not sure that that's okay to say on Monday Night Magic.
Well, it just got said, but like she set the vacuum to the side and like leaned over to get something and it fell over on her. Boom, popped right out. I was like, "Mom." And then a few minutes later, like she went to pick up some books and the top one fell off into the floor. Boom, came right out again. I was like, "Huh." I've never heard you say this many times in a day. She's like, "Well, stuff keeps going wrong, and that's just what comes out." Oh, I love my mom.
I want your mom to write the B&R announcements. You can even get it with "stuff keeps going wrong, and here's what comes out."
Oh, my God. Anyway, so I guess that'll... So go listen to JudgeCast. You can find it where?
JudgeCast.com.
That was JudgeCast.com in case you missed it because he blinked out again. And he's running, his Discord was having issues, so he's running Discord through his, like the Discord in his browser. So I think that's where the problem is. So yeah, sorry for Perlman's terrible quality, but they still use Skype like a bunch of plebs. So as for me, you can find all the stuff I do all over the place as The Manipool. Go to themanipool.com for the podcast. Go to youtube.com/themanipool for the YouTube videos, including, at the moment, Cuphead. Oh god, I love that game so much. And the Kobolds and Catacombs dungeon runs, the successful ones, one for each class, from Hearthstone. And, of course, the weekly tavern brawl in Hearthstone as well. More things will be coming soon, once I'm done with Cuphead. Which, I want to keep playing Cuphead, but I don't want Cuphead to ever end. But sadly, it will. In another X number of episodes, where X equals the number of episodes that it took. See what I did there. If you want to be part of the live streams, you can go to twitch.tv/themanipool, where I stream Overwatch and Hearthstone and other random nonsense. More of that other random nonsense will be coming soon. I think I'm going to stream Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy. And if you know what that means, you're already either excited or sad. And if you don't know what that means, hey, come to twitch.tv/themanipool and check it out. And then you will be either excited or sad. And of course, if you want to help support what I do with all of the YouTube videos and what's the other thing? Twitch streams and 2 podcasts a week, then you can go to patreon.com/themanipool and sign up there, because every little bit helps and I really do appreciate it. You can get the early stuff. That's YouTube videos and Manipool podcast episodes early. You can get the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manipool that are uncensored and unfiltered. And you can listen to Clues and Brian Prilliman swearing. But not very much in Prilliman's case, which is sad. Got to get you to step that up after the show there, B-Pro.
I didn't know. And then I started.
It still wasn't terribly vulgar. Just get it on out there. Also, you can get the early stuff, the odds and ends, and you can become a lifeguard and get your name on the end slate for all the videos that go up for every month that you support at that tier. And I will also read your name off on both podcasts. And to that end, I would like to thank the following exceedingly generous lifeguards: Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Paul David, Lands Delicious, Timu Helles Haryu. Every time I say that, I feel like I've gotten it wrong. John Morris, Stuart Slaw.
Oh god, my headset fell off.
Excuse me. That was a sneeze.
A big donator.
Who did I just say? Stuart Slaw. PJ McMullen. Bosco Bertain, Casey, Nathan Hay, AJ Javieris, Cody Buckowing, Jacob Jansons, Jason Kaus, Gothic Man, Patrick, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Jimmy Scott, Dan Holm, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Thank you all so very much, as well as all of the rest of the patrons, and of course, all of you listeners out there. Thank you so much. And also a big thanks to Brian Prilliman for joining us as a private citizen on this episode. All right, then.
Was I supposed to say something there? You're welcome.
Yeah, there you go. Lord. He's bad at this. You know, he's only got this podcast that he's on every other week, and those people all have a nice rapport. So he gets over here with us, and he's like, do I talk now? What?
I was just expecting you to end. Thank you to Brian Prilliman, and then segue out the door and episode over.
Yeah, no, that's not how it goes around here.
But now I'm going to segue out the door and episode over. So this has been Monday Night Magic number 590. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.